Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." In the previous devotional, we looked at the phrase, "trust in the Lord." And though much more could be said and will be said as the Lord tarries and we continue through God's word, let's look at those last four words in that phrase, "trust in the Lord with all thine heart." I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about this. So what does it mean to trust in the Lord with all thine heart? Well, when we believe in the gospel, we believe that Jesus died. We are fully trusting in his work on the cross. He shed his blood and paid for our sins. And we also trust in the demonstration of his power over sin and his power over death with his resurrection. And at that moment, that's when we open our hearts to the Lord. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." And that's what it's meant when we say Jesus is in your heart. And so much so that that's why many people get it mixed up and put the heart before the horse, so to speak. they start telling people to ask Jesus into their heart to be saved, and the Bible never says such a thing. But I believe the confusion comes from the fact that when we believe the gospel, which is what we're told to do to be saved in the Bible, that's when he comes into our heart. He comes into us as his Spirit now resides in us as his children. And that's where that confusion comes in. But once we're saved, he is now in our hearts, and we then begin the process basically of giving him more control of our hearts. This is a process, part of sanctification. Initial sanctification is being saved. Final sanctification is being glorified. But in between being saved and glorified, we go through this daily process. And every day, we have to make the choice to consecrate ourselves to Jesus, just like Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, 30 through 32. And he says, "And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." So that's the two basic attitudes people have in life. You're either going to die daily or you're going to live it up. Go, and that's what people do. They get whatever they want out of the day. It's all about me, me, me. Or you can die daily. And it all comes down to growing in grace and in the knowledge of our resurrected Savior. Shallow Christians will only allow Jesus in the shallow part of their heart. And Christians with a deep and increasing love for Jesus, with an ever-increasing understanding of the power and implications of his resurrection, also have a growing expectation and desire for his return. That's what 1 John 3:2 is saying. "Beloved, now we are the sons of God." If you're saved, you're the son of God. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And that hope purifieth us, according to the Scripture. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." So you fill your heart with more of his word, more of his truth, and you are trusting in the Lord with all your heart. And that relationship will grow until the day you meet him in rapture or resurrection.